The 1900s will go down in history as one of the bloodiest centuries. And the 23 first years of the 2000s have in many ways been characterized by worry. We can't keep peace with each other, and we destroy our world and our lands. Maybe we think, but that's not about me and Sweden. We have peace with each other. We're not fighting. We don't have war. But do we really have peace and safety and calm? Around in our country, there's different gang conflicts. Marriages and relationships are being destroyed. Even in the sandbox, we can't keep the peace. We are way too close. And when someone comes too close to the toys that we want, then we start fighting. It's not only that we have a capacity to fight and have a hard time keeping the peace. Even inside of us, there is a war. A psychic or a mental challenges are increasing. More and more people are worried and don't have this peace in their life. So what's the solution to that? How can there be peace in our world? How can we have peace and harmony with each other? And how can we have peace within ourselves? And even more so, we want to focus on an even more important question. How can we have peace with? We'll return to that question. Let's read from Isaiah 9, verse 1 to 7. It will give us the answer we need for our world, our time, and our life. So Isaiah 9, verse 1 to 7. And in English, it starts with verse 2. The people who walked in the darkness. Oh, sorry, it is verse 1. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Four. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will do this. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can open our Bibles and we can read this amazing prophecy this Christmas Eve. We pray that you would make your word alive. You would help us to see how amazing this hope is that we have in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So how does this text help us in our life situations? Well, it's written in a similar situation, and it gives the solution to the problems of the world. But in order to find this out, we have to see the problem that's a few verses earlier in chapter 8, verse 22 until 9, verse 2. Here, it seems like a hopeless situation. In the end of chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "And they will look to the earth, and behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." Here, we hear the situation in northern Israel. After the people have pushed away God in the 700s before Christ, where the Assyrian powers came in and destroyed the land. Imagine if you were there. The only thing that is there is hopelessness. Terrible situations, darkness, anxiety, war, and a shadow of darkness, or the shadow of death, as some Bible translations say on Isaiah 9:2. Would you be able to explain that as a Merry Christmas? No. Here we have a situation that is much worse than anything we can imagine here. Everything around those people was in black, dark darkness, no hope, only horrible situation. And so we read then about the promise in verse 1 to 5, which goes past those original readers with a hope that is not just for them, but also for us. So now we're reading in verse 1. It says that darkness will move away where there is anxiety. Maybe you feel that you're in a darkness, that you have anxiety around you. In that area in northern Israel, where they had such a dark situation, with such a destruction upon them that they thought, how could the darkness ever go away? And then in verse 2, it says, "The people who are walking in darkness see a great light. Over them who are in the shadow of darkness, on them has light shone." So a light will stream from in the darkness. Over them who are in the shadow of darkness, or even in the shadow of death, in the shadow of death land. So we have a promise with hope. In the land where it's just darkness all around, we see in verse 3, "You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with a joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. So the prophet Isaiah is going from it speaking about a terrible darkness to a light, from grumpiness and anger, sadness, to a great joy. And he promises them in verse 4 that they will be saved from their enemies. God will stop the war that he had in Midian's time. Here it says in verse 4, the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. So it will be the end of this dominion over them. In verse 5, everything is burnt up that has to do with war. And even in the New Testament, we hear a promise like this. We hear a promise that all tears will be dried up, how evil one time for all will be crushed, and how there will be an eternal, undescribable joy and peace. No more war, no more sorrow, no more pain and affliction, just an eternal joy, peace, and calm. But hello, let's wake up out of this dream. Look at the reality. Our world is filled with darkness and suffering. You can't just live in a dream world. How can it be peace? How can we have peace within ourselves when we have all these dark voices and thoughts? How can we have peace with ourselves and with others? Maybe you feel like that. So let's look at our third point. This is verse 6. It's the solution to the problem. And that solution is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. In verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The child that would be born and has been born is Jesus. He is the solution, the answer. And this Advent, on these 4 weeks, we've been focusing on those four titles that's said here on Jesus. From verse 6. So Daniel Heiler preached about how Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. He's the most wise, and he leads with wisdom. And for the second, it was Trevor that spoke about a mighty God, how God himself, for example, that Jesus became a man. And then on the third, we heard from David, who preached about how God is our everlasting Father. It's not that Jesus would be the Father in the Trinity, but that he would be like a loving Father and King, take care of his people, protect them, and guide them. And now today, on Christmas Eve, the fourth week of Advent, we've finally come to that Jesus is Prince of Peace. Our world is plagued by war, conflicts, fighting, arguments, and how people can't keep peace between each other. By ourselves, we can't keep the peace, even amongst ourselves in ourselves. We need a Prince of Peace. And that's why Jesus, the promised Messiah, came. In order to have peace with each other and peace within ourselves, we have to take up a greater problem that has to be fixed. We need peace with God. Here in Isaiah 9, God's people were in rebellion against God. Isaiah writes later how their sins were separating them from their God. And we even see in Isaiah how they're described as sick in their sin. So the solution, the medicine in Isaiah, is that this suffering servant Jesus, in Isaiah 53, comes in, takes the guilty man's problems, and it so that we can have peace with God. And that is why Jesus is born. That's why he came, so that we, who are rebellious against God, could have peace with him. We, who are so selfish, we want to be in the center of our universe. We, who want to go our own way, we want to have our own thoughts. And in our thoughts and our actions, we have sinned. Then we've made a rebellion against God. Jesus was born, as the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, to save his people from their what? From their what? From their sins. Jesus came to take the punishment that we deserve and to offer us peace, peace with God. And we can get this peace by believing, welcoming him as our Lord, our Savior, and our King, to believe that he died, he was raised from the dead for us, so we can be forgiven and have peace with God. And Romans 5:1 says, you have been called righteous. You have been called righteous by faith. So then we can have peace with God. What a wonderful promise. Peace with God. If we can have peace with God, then after that, we can, by God's help, have peace with one another. There was one time I heard a story of how an Orthodox Jew and a Muslim, they were interviewed about the situation with the conflict between Jews and Palestinians, which is happening right now. The reporter questioned, why can't you just forgive each other? And both the Jew and the Muslim answered at the same time, well, we're not Christians, are we? Ephesians 2, verse 14 speaks about how Jesus, by salvation, is our peace. He has made the two into one. He has pulled down the wall that divides between believing Jews and Gentiles, so non-Jews. And so they're no longer two, but one. We are one in Christ. They can have peace with each other. Jesus is strong enough to change even the hardest heart. And he is able to change your and my heart. And if we're honest, we are too selfish. Jesus is able to change us, give us love, so that we can even love our enemies. And that's why we sing in the song, O Holy Night, and see, and to see that your enemy has become your friend. The gospel, the news about Christ, the Prince of Peace, is God's power towards salvation that allows us to change our hearts so that we can love the ones that we never could have loved before. Jesus, who is the light of the world, has come with light in this darkness so that we can, first of all, have peace with God, and then we have the power to love one another and to even love our enemies. It's also through the gospel we can have peace internally. When we have peace with God, us with our past, with our future, and even right here and now. Find rest in God. Hearts are restless until we find rest in Him. When we have found peace with God, we don't need to be afraid for death. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. When we have found peace with God, we have hope, and we know that He is with us no matter what difficulties, suffering, sickness, or any other situation. As believers, we know that we are loved without any boundary, and we stand forgiven before God. We have a future and a hope, and that leads us to our last point. And we'll look in verse 7, the result. Verse 7. Verse 7, the result, where the Messiah, Jesus' kingdom, is explained. Verse 7, the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus is the King. He reigns right now, and his kingdom is among us. At the same time, we pray, let your kingdom come. We wait that God's kingdom would come out in full bloom, when we fully would be able to partake of this kingdom. And that's what verse 7 is speaking about, that Jesus' kingdom would be great and peace without end would reign over David's throne and over his kingdom. And that would be fulfilled in God's eternal kingdom. And then it would be the end of all the wars when Jesus, with right and righteousness, comes to reign, and all who have turned and believe in him will come to him and be able to rejoice and enjoy that. This is what something wonderful to see, to look forward to. We've been talking about the situation in Gaza and Israel, but there is a solution, and the solution is Jesus. We might look at the situation, it looks so dark, but Jesus is the solution. Once for all, there will be an end to all these wars. He will come with his eternal peace. Oh, we long for that. Verse 7 finishes with it saying, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The Lord of hosts means God, who stands over his armies. He will come to take charge over all injustice, all evil, and all sin. And it's his suffering. It's his jealousy over his people that will bring this peace. Through the whole Bible, we see a theme: salvation through judgment. In Advent, then we remember how Jesus first came, how he was born to die and to be raised again for our salvation. Under Advent, we remember his second coming, while Jesus would come back to judge and to save. The Bible speaks about two choices. Heaven and hell is the two options, either eternal punishment or eternal life. Our Father God in his goodness invites us to be saved from darkness and the world of darkness into his beloved Son's kingdom, so that we could eternally rejoice with him. But there is also this eternal punishment. God is righteous, and a righteous God will punish all evil and sin. As a righteous king, he will not leave sin without punishment. It's not only Hitler or Stalin that are guilty to evil and sin. We have all done, we have all thought and said things that are wrong. And a righteous king and a judge, Jesus, will punish all sin and evil. But in his goodness. So the Prince of Peace offers Jesus, through death and resurrection, he offers us an eternal, wonderful fellowship with him, and an indescribable joy. These contrasts are huge between Isaiah 9. On one side, there's darkness, suffering, anxiety, and on the other side, a wonderful joy, a peace, and an eternal joy. And that's how it will be in eternity. There'll be darkness and anxiety with eternal punishment, or an eternal life and an eternal, indescribable, wonderful joy. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with him? When you go and lay down this evening, can you say with the psalmist in Psalm 4, verse 9, "In peace will I lay down and sleep, For you, O Lord, help me to sleep in peace. Do you have peace with God? That's why Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came, so that we could have eternal peace. Peace with Him. If you don't know this peace with God, with yourself, or with others, please come and speak with me or someone else here. Ask them, what does it mean to know Christ, the Prince of Peace? What does it mean to have peace with God? So is it really a Merry Christmas? Yes, it is. If we look around in the world, and we look at the war and suffering, and if we look at the brokenness and the darkness, maybe we would answer no. But we know that it's a good Christmas because of the message of Christmas. It says in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." So Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He came so that we would have peace with God, peace with each other, and peace within ourselves through this wonderful fellowship with Him. What a good news. So we can truly say Merry Christmas. Jesus is the best Christmas present. He is the good news that our world is so desperate to hear. And this is how God loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, so that those who true and believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So let us rejoice in this wonderful hope that we have in Christ Jesus for all eternity. Amen.